A discussion of negative effects of polygamy next on Polygamy, What Love Is This? We've done several segments in the past with Emily Lee, formerly of the AUB Polygamy Group. In fact, she is the daughter of the current leader or prophet of the group. However, he wasn't the leader at the time that Emily was still there. She's back with us again. There's much on her heart to discuss. And when it comes to Mormon polygamy, there's always something that needs to be exposed, discussed, discouraged, and encouraged. So we welcome back Emily Lee of the AUB Polygamy Group, the Apostolic United Brethren, or the All Red Group.
Right? Correct. Or the Work.
Or the Work. And it's interesting that it's called the Work because the Kingston Group called theirs the Work.
Do
and,
they?
Yeah.
Or the
What does the AUB call theirs?
Well, it's interesting that they call it the Work. I think that's kind of something the polygamy groups have picked up. But the Bible says it's not by works that we're saved. And so they use the word work as their designation of being the kingdom of God.
I heard the Kingstons call it something else also.
Well, they call it the Order.
The Order, thank you. Okay, so that's... They call it the Order.
Because of the United Order aspect of it.
That makes sense.
And the co-op, which its legal name is the Davis County Cooperative Society, so it can also be called the co-op.
Okay. And,
but within its own ranks, it's within itself, themselves, they call them, this is the work. This is the work God
The work
has
of the Lord.
To, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and the All Red Group does too, but it's not by works we're saved, folks. So, if we don't talk about it, nobody's going to know about it, right?
Exactly.
And that's why you're back.
Exactly.
Because we need to talk about it. And and we might talk a little bit, you know, cover a couple of the things that we've basically covered before. But we're going to go into a little bit more of the abusive treatment, what it does to a person.
Right.
Mentally and emotionally, and how the bad doctrine and the domineering dominance of the patriarchal is destructive and controlling and can be very hurtful to the members, what it does to the person's mental and emotional health. And we also want to discuss more deeply some of the techniques and other offer ideas and suggestions and resources and referrals for victims to get some help and to get out safely if you're wanting to get out.
Yeah.
We also want to present the truth that we discovered after we left.
Right.
That God doesn't require polygamy.
Exactly.
And God won't be angry at you if you leave a polygamy group or even if you leave Mormonism. He's not out to get you. He's not going to exact retribution on you.
And, right.
And that was one of my biggest fears.
Yeah.
I don't know if you had that fear when you were leaving, is God is going to get you now.
It is with, I think, anyone that leaves that culture. It's a fear that either God will get them or God won't protect them. And they'll be a victim of the world.
The
and
devil.
It's terrifying. Yeah.
The buffetings of Satan, some people call it.
The adversary.
Yeah, exactly. And that was, I lived in that for years and years and years until I discovered God is good.
All the time.
All the time. And polygamy doesn't bring us closer to God. They teach it does. No. They believe it does, but it does not.
It's so confusing how and why they think that it brings us closer to God.
Right, exactly. Because God commanded it, and to obey Him brings us closer to Him and all that stuff. So first, to refresh our viewers' memories, you were here before, but we might have new viewers, and maybe people don't remember your exact story. Why don't you just very briefly explain to our new viewers, you grew up, what group you grew, I mean, how you grew up in polygamy and how and why you left.
Okay. So I grew up in the All Red Group, the AUB, and my father was called to the council, I believe when I was six, maybe eight. And the church was his whole life. He 100% took, the church was first and foremost in everything. And he was not a very kind father at times. And that was something that was really hard to deal with. Obviously, as a young child, well, I shouldn't say obviously, but when I was a young child, there were a few things that I remember hearing and knowing God wouldn't do that to us, mm-hmm. believing, at least feeling in my heart that God was a good God, mm-hmm. and he wouldn't want us to suffer in the ways that we were suffering. And I think I knew pretty early on, I would say maybe 8, 10, I didn't want to be in the church.
Wow, that
and,
early.
Yeah, yeah, I think I was young when I remember hearing certain things. And at about 12 was when I started to voice that to my parents, that I didn't want to go to church. By 14, my dad did tell me polygamy is a really hard way to live, and you don't want to live it based on mine and your mom's testimony. You need to find your own testimony. Mm-hmm. So read the Book of Mormon and ask God where he wants you to be. Mm-hmm. So I ended up leaving in my teen years. I went back for a few things here and there, but never to...
And they didn't stop you? Your parents didn't stop you or try to talk you out of leaving? Or did they try to force you to stay?
You know, it wasn't... When I was young, there was a lot of force in going to church. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of talk about going to church, even after I left and some of my siblings left. And it was almost, I almost felt that it was expected if I didn't stay in the AUB that I would join the LDS church. Mm-hmm. And so that was just kind of standard. You know, if you left the polygamy group, then you went to the LDS church. Exactly.
Yeah. Now, I want to back up just a little bit. You mentioned that your father was not very nice at times. Had he changed through the years at all? Has he gotten nicer or not? Or is he about the same?
He did for a while. He had done some classes. A lot of people in the work did some inner child workshop classes. So mm-hmm. he did those when I was an early teenager, mm-hmm. which is part of the reason why I think he said when I was 14 that I needed to find my own walk with God, because it was in the midst of those classes.
So in his idea, your own walk with God could or could not include polygamy, and that was okay?
And he was okay with
really?
That. As far as I know.
So the AUB doesn't hold it so dear as other polygamy groups, that you have to be a polygamist to please God?
I didn't stay long enough to get into the really internal meetings to know what things were talked about and pushed.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a forced thing, though, in the AUB, at least not necessarily in my family. And I also think that you could take that in a couple different ways.
Right, and they can mentally or emotionally force people.
Exactly.
Without not be physical force
mm-hmm.
at all.
Exactly.
Okay. So you left at a very early age.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't leave until I was 18, so I got more of the indoctrination than you did.
Yeah.
But still, it's pretty hard to live with the indoctrination they give you when you want to get out, want to leave.
It really is. And it doesn't necessarily go away if mm-hmm. you stay in contact with your family either.
Not the ones who believe.
Right.
Yeah.
So I met my ex-husband when I was 16, and my parents told me, you are acting like you're married, so you need to get married. Mm. So 2 months after, 3 months after my 17th birthday, then they took me to the courthouse and signed for a marriage certificate. Mm. And my dad performed the ceremony and married us.
So he could legally perform. He could perform legal marriages.
He could, yes. He did get to a point where he wouldn't perform them for people outside of the group. Yeah, okay. Because he would be required to perform them for others outside of the group.
So how was being raised in polygamy, and this is not only a personal question for yourself, but what you've seen, and as we discuss these things, what I've seen, not only in myself, but other people who were raised in polygamy, and then they leave, how does it affect your recovery to live in an outside culture? Because the polygamy culture in this world is too different. Living out in the world, outside of polygamy, I should say, is two very different cultures. How did that affect your recovery, you know, having the polygamy doctrine so embedded?
Well, I'm 41 and I'm still in recovery. I mean, I don't think that it, I think you recover from it for the rest of your life. There's a lot of side effects that happen, and it's not something that's easy to get over. It's not something that you necessarily just get over. I think coming out, you're terrified. You're terrified of everything.
Especially and, because not only the fear they put in you, but the actual fear of living in a different culture and being on your own.
Exactly.
I like to call it buttons. We have all of us have buttons that people can push and get different reactions from us. And after we get out and begin to recover from the polygamy, there's certain buttons that we can eliminate.
But
there's still every once in a while a little button that just doesn't go away.
Exactly.
And you know, one of mine is, believe it or not, reading the King James Version of the Bible. Because Joseph Smith picked up on that language, and that still pushes one of my buttons, even today after so many years.
And we were taught that that was the only version of the Bible that was acceptable to read, and that it was only acceptable based on what their definitions of it were.
Right, exactly. Oh, my. And something that's dear to your own heart and also to mine is the impact that growing up under the difficult, the mind control, the brainwashing, what it does to a developing child's intellect and their emotional and mental health as they mature, as they grow older and older, what that actually does, it retards it to some degree.
It does. It causes severe emotional immaturity. And so you become an adult and you're very emotionally immature. You become a parent and you're emotionally immature in the way that you parent your children.
In a sense, you're codependent upon the group and on their teachings.
Yes.
And you can't function without without it.
I don't know anyone that has left the AUB or any other polygamous cult that is not codependent. You do become codependent because you're told your whole life how to think, what to believe, who to trust. And you don't, you're not in any way strengthened in relying on yourself.
You're not encouraged to. You're
exactly,
discouraged to.
Exactly.
Maybe I mentioned this in one of our other programs. I don't remember, but my dad told me that he wanted me to allow him to make all my decisions for me until I was 19 years old, and then he could trust me to make my own. Not realizing how could I ever make my own if I didn't have any practice at doing it, any guidelines and guidance in doing it, if he made them all for me.
Right.
And of course, you know what decisions though would be: get married, have be a polygamous wife, barefoot and pregnant for your eternity, you know. And that would have been the decisions he made for me.
Exactly. Your whole life would have been laid out for you.
Right. And so where's the mental growth there? Where's the emotional growth?
There isn't
in the
any.
Person, in their personality even.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can honestly say that when I left, I had no personality. I did not have a personality.
Yeah. You know what my ex-husband used to say to me? You're vanilla.
Vanilla is really quite good in recipes.
You know, I love vanilla ice cream, but he didn't mean it in a good way.
Right.
It was just, you're so vanilla. You don't, you could go with anywhere, anyway, hang out with anyone and just easily adapt. And there was probably some truth to that.
Well, they make you into little zombies, you know.
They
clone you into their own little characters, what they want.
Right.
I don't think that people who look from the outside looking into the polygamy culture understand that, and I don't believe the people inside the culture who are experiencing the abuse, I don't think there's any understanding on either side that the practices of the Mormon culture is very abusive.
Very.
They don't recognize it as abuse if you've been in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know I was abused until I got out. I thought it was just life. You know, that's the way life is. But they have, I mean, you can name some of the abuses you had. I had religious abuse, emotional abuse.
Yeah. You know, physical abuse.
Physical.
Sexual abuse.
Huge physical abuse.
Mm-hmm. Psychological abuse.
Psychological.
Any form of abuse, there it was there. I think we don't realize, unless we're being physically or sexually abused, we don't realize the other forms of abuse.
Right.
And it's incredibly hard to know what those are if you're not being taught, if you're not being guided, if you're not going to public school and having any type of advocacy for you as a child, even into your adult life.
Mm-hmm.
And so you really wouldn't consider a lot of the forms of abuse that happen. You wouldn't consider those necessarily to be abuse.
And a child can't get away from it unless they're taken out of the home. What do you think about the current powers that be in the state of Utah, that their current policy is, if a child runs away from a polygamy home, take them back?
That's insane. It's absolutely absurd. I don't understand, and especially from a lot of the interviews I've watched, quite a few with people that have left the Kingston group,
mm-hmm.
and they have talked about that, about mm-hmm. the police taking them back.
Taking them back.
And they're telling them, they're going to force me to get married when I'm 16. They're doing these horrendous things.
Or making me marry my uncle or
right.
my cousin
making,
or my
exactly,
half-brother.
Exactly. And where, how can the law intervene in that? How is it okay that they're coming out, they're very clearly explaining mm-hmm. the abuses that they're suffering, and mm-hmm. then they're being taken back to their homes?
And that's the policy of the people who worked with the polygamy culture
yeah.
in the state. I agree with you. I think it's wrong. It's certainly wrong.
When incredibly
when,
wrong.
When there's proof of abuse and then they don't, they still mm-hmm. send you back to it. I think also that we can, and this is for people who are either still in or who are outside looking in, don't understand that when you're raised in this culture, we become people who tolerate intolerable treatment.
Exactly. Exactly.
And one reason is because we're told that God requires
yes.
discipline. You know,
yes.
you got to be disciplined. You got to yep. be trained. And,
yep.
and all of this. But we tolerate it. And then what kind of problems develop from that? From that, like anxiety. You know, we have anxiety
problems. Depression, codependency. The list is so long. We end up becoming doormats for other people.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone coming out of that culture is a prime target for someone to latch onto and abuse. And it happens all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. We become easy targets.
Very
easy targets.
Especially
through our brainwashing. We don't know how to say no. We don't know how to set
really?
Healthy boundaries.
Boundaries, what are those?
Exactly. I had no idea what boundaries
exactly.
were when... We lack social experience, social knowledge.
Right.
The right, the wrong way to act or react. Naive, you know, in so many ways, we're naive. And predators can spot that.
Yeah.
They can spot that in a person.
And they do. And they latch on. And we have no idea how severely we're being abused. And because we're not in that culture anymore, and maybe they don't do things exactly the way that they were being done in the culture, we don't realize
mm-hmm.
the level of abuse.
And that
that's
we're
happening.
Being exploited, that we've been targeted
yes.
and exploited by
yes.
them. And yes. This could be this any kind of predator. It can be sexual. It could be trafficking. It could be dodgy schemes. It can be cheap employment. You know, it can be any kind of a negative situation. But we don't know how to say no. And sometimes we don't even recognize that we should say no.
Right. We think that it's the right thing to do in certain circumstances.
Especially if it's a mature male that told us we had to do it.
Right.
Because we've been raised under the patriarchal culture.
Exactly.
But then there's a lot of males. I mean, females aren't the only ones abused in polygamy.
No,
they're
not.
A lot of teenage boys get out and they have been wrong. They've had the wrong kind of or a negative kind of a model, male model, to be a grown, mature man.
Right.
And so they don't know what to do with themselves.
No. And they also don't know how to be good fathers,
right?
Good husbands. They don't know those things in a lot of ways because they've never seen it. They haven't experienced what it's like.
I never taught it.
Exactly.
Right.
And it's a struggle for them.
It is hard.
And the good ones that come out, they struggle with it. It's an internal battle, and men typically don't like to get help or seek assistance or guidance in those ways. And so I think it's something that they struggle with. I've watched my brothers go through it. And thankfully, my brothers have been incredibly good men as far as husbands and wives and brothers and even sons.
There's a lot of these men, the young men, but and also young women, that they face these problems when they get out.
Right.
And they don't know how to properly deal with it or even where to go to get the proper help they need.
Exactly.
And even though maybe the newspapers don't report it as suicide, there is a lot of suicide.
There is. Yes, there
is. By people who leave polygamy groups or who want to leave and can't get out. So
and I think a lot, I think the rate of men versus women leaving that culture is higher.
It is. I believe so too. But I know of a couple in the Manti that was in the Manti polygamy group but committed suicide, and their newspaper reported their death but never reported that it was suicide. But I knew the backstory, so I knew what had happened and had developed on all that. And
were
it was
those
just,
recent?
It was probably 10 years ago or more, you know.
Okay.
But I just remember the paper reported it but didn't report the whole truth of what had happened. And it was just a tragedy. You just want to get in and help these people that are in that bad of a condition, but you can't get to them.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't even know, half the time you don't even know that that problem is going on.
Most of the time you don't. Yeah. I do remember someone in the AUB, a young man, early 20s, and he Facebook lived his goodbyes to his mom and his siblings, and I think gave his dad a pretty good tongue lashing in the goodbye, and they couldn't get to him in time.
Wow.
And so his family had to see this in real time, and it was devastating.
It's horrible.
Absolutely devastating.
Such a tragedy. You know, and we talk about these things, and these kinds of things happen in different cultures, not just polygamy.
Exactly,
do. But our topic is polygamy, and that's why we're focusing on that. But it's more important because our powers that be don't do anything about polygamy, and it's illegal.
No.
And they still just turn their faces and a blind eye, and they do nothing about it when these things could be prevented.
They could be, and they should be.
They should be.
And so where does the state become accountable in allowing these things to happen? Mm-hmm. If you witness a crime and you don't report it, if you watch your spouse beat your children and you don't report it, you can be held accountable. Why isn't the state doing anything? Why isn't there any intervention happening in the situation? Is it because of the LDS Church?
And I don't know how much power they still wield over these kinds of things. I know there's some, but I don't know how much that would keep the powers that be, as it were, from intervening. But the people in the group, I know it was this way with the Kingstons and with the FLDS, and I would imagine with the AUB, mm-hmm. that if you're in the group and you see a crime or know a crime or you're a victim of abuse or a crime, you can't go outside of the group and talk about it. God will destroy you if you do. You have to keep everything inside the group a secret. You can't, you're not allowed to discuss it. So victims will not go to the police.
No, they won't.
Because of that fear.
Yeah.
And the fear that, well, they'll find out we're polygamous and then we'll really be in trouble. So
right.
you can't talk about it. So there's right. a lot of fears that raised in a culture of fear.
And that's how they keep people contained in the cult, mm-hmm. is with fear mm-hmm. of everything outside of those men that essentially govern those groups.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely right. What's the difference in your experience of being in and out of the group? The difference between freedom of choice, freedom to choose what you really want, or freedom to choose what your brainwashing parents want you to want? Are you able to make, I mean, how does that train you to make your own choices in life? Or do they even want you to make your own choices?
I think they don't want you to make your own choices. They want you to stay in the group. And if you do leave and you're outside of it, you question every decision.
Mm-hmm.
Every decision. You've got to have someone help you make decisions you're not capable of.
You can't make them yourself. That's right. Well, we're out of time for this. We're going to do another part, a second part of this particular discussion. But we're out of time for this one, Emily. So stay put, and we'll be back and talk about more things. But first off, I would like to share with our viewers that the other day I was listening to a Bible teacher, and he listed four ways that Jesus told us that we would die in our sins, which he warned us against doing. And as you know, dying in our sins is meaning that we have not been forgiven of our sins before we die, and so therefore we don't go to celestial glory. And I thought I'd share a couple of these and then maybe a couple of them next time. The first one, to die in our sins, is that we need to be self-righteous. If you want to die in your sins, you just be self-righteous. Try to save yourself by your own good works. John 6:29, Jesus tells us that the works God requires is for us to believe in Jesus. And believe means that we trust him, not our works, to save us. And the second of these four would be to care more about our life on this earth rather than our eternal life. Jesus said, where our treasure is where our hearts also will be. And we urge all those who are in polygamy or who trust polygamy or Mormonism for salvation to run. Don't walk, but run to Jesus, because he alone is the Savior. Thank you for watching. See you next time.
This has been the audio podcast of Polygamy, What Love Is This? With host Doris Hansen. Polygamy, What Love Is This? Is produced by A Shield and Refuge Ministry. More information on this program, including the video version of it, can be found at whatloveisthis.tv. If you have any questions or need help getting free from Mormon fundamentalism, write us at contact@shieldandrefuge.org or call us at 1-800-877-425-9993.